This is the place to go for anime, manga, comics, video games, all pop culture information. This is the place that you need to be. This program is brought to you by Blacken Studios Entertainment Division. Remember, it's Blacken.
Hey kiddies, Joker here. Just wanted to let you know that I, the clown prince of crime and the jack of all nerd show, love the Elijah Bailey show. You should listen to it all the time. Isn't that right, Batsy? Sorry, he's all tied up at the moment.
Thanks for downloading The Elijah Bailey Show from iTunes or BlackenStudios.com. And here's a word from some of the folks that make it possible for you to hear this show for free every Thursday.
Providing bankruptcy services throughout the state of Oklahoma, Bowler & Associates is a bankruptcy law firm based in Midwest City, Oklahoma. Their mission is to relieve you from threat of debt collectors, garnishments, repossessions, tax levies, foreclosures, and much more. Backed by more than 20 years of experience in the legal field, they excel in finding the quickest, most effective, and most affordable solution to all your legal and financial troubles. You can find them at Bowler Law on Facebook and also visit their website at www.bowlerlawfirm.com. Reach them at 405-733-3000. Email them at bankruptcy@bowlerandassociates.com.
Sorry about that, folks. We're having some technical difficulty. I did it again. Technical difficulty. That is the phrase. That is the word. But we are here. That's the bird. I'm Elijah 5000. Let's move this over just a bit. Like, the camera's out of whack. Thank you if you've been watching me all day. This is the fourth time you've seen me today. If you've just joined, this is the 262nd episode of The Elijah Bailey Show. I think we were shared everywhere. Everybody should be watching now. Today is our anime episode. And why do I have this screen over here? Let's do this. Okay, it's the anime episode. So if you're new to the podcast, if you're new to the stream, each and every week I do something different within the frame, the contextual frame of a month. So the first week of the month is comic books, second week is anime, third week, video games, and fourth week, the Bailey Bugle is Hot Topics, whatever I can get my hands on. So since we are here, which is May 9th, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/Elijah_5000 or at Facebook Gaming, Edge Gaming, we are going to talk about anime. And so you guys are going to see some stuff on the screen. Now, if you're listening, that means this is just a few days after I record the shows on Sundays. The shows drop on Thursday. So you're listening now on any major podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts, Podbeam, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever. You can also listen on YouTube. But if you do want to watch, then go ahead and tune in on one of the days I stream, which is Saturday or Sunday. And then I know there's a special stream coming up on, not this Saturday, but I do think next Saturday for the show. Let me check. And this all ties in with a lot of shit we're going to be talking about. So as the Saturday gets closer, I'll let you guys know when that stream comes. But let's get into the stream. So as always, I give you the latest news that you need to hear for anime. I give you the releases for this month. So let's just start there. This is going to be a pretty quick show. I'm giving you my opinions. I'm giving you some things that drop, some info that we got. And then we're going to talk about some new anime and manga. So not a lengthy show. I will also pull up Anime News Network just to see and some other places, see if there's any other news that comes out. But there's a couple things that are just hidden close to me. It is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And we will talk about some of the greatest anime mothers that we should show some love to. But let's start with the anime releases. Now, this is a heavy month. May 2021 is a heavy month for anime films. First up, well, there's two films coming out on the 14th. The first one is Knights of Sidonia. I Sumugu Hoshi. And then also on May 14th is Cud Wafter. Then May 15th comes out Fate Grand Order Camelot Paladin. And then May 21st is Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway's Flash. Also May 21st is Revenue Starlight, the movie. And on May 28th, to round out all of the movie releases that are coming out in May, is 100 Nichigo ni Shinuwani. So those are your films that are releasing. And the only thing that is releasing in May, May 27th, as a television anime series is Eden. So a quick list this month. Last month, we had a whole bunch of shit for comics and anime. So it's crazy. This month, not as much. Let me head on over to Anime News Network before we dive into the news. Because everything is going to, you know, go pretty quickly. But let's see. Demon Slayer's second stage play runs in Tokyo, Osaka in August. So the second play reveals more cast members. This year's 23rd issue of the Weekly Shonen Jump magazine announced that there's a second stage play for Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, which will drop this year in August, or that's what the plans are. The play is supposed to run in Tokyo from August 7th through the 15th, in Osaka from August 20th to 22nd, and then again in Tokyo from August 27th to the 31st. So again, if you do love Demon Slayer, the anime, then go ahead and check out the play if you are there, and if you've been vaccinated. That's one thing. A lot of things are opening up, kind of, and a lot of things are shutting back down, most definitely for some shit. But let's see what else we got here. If there's anything, because I know the big news is the Dragon Ball Super news, and we'll get to that. That hit like yesterday, and there's like 15 fucking things that went with that. Okay, there was something to tie onto that Dragon Ball Z, but that got disproved. Hopefully you guys are watching How Not to Summon a Demon Lord episode 5 released. Sega announces Yakuza spinoff Lost Judgment sequel to the game. Let's see if we can go ahead and just get this bad boy up here. Hopefully they don't hit us with no copyright shit. Again, because we're just pulling up the trailer, but if you don't remember, Sega's Judgment was basically the bridge in evolution between what Fist of the North Star Lost Paradise was and then where they were going with Yakuza 7. And Judgment was really cool. I didn't get to play too much, and I don't have the game. I got to play demos and snippets. I can't get it. There are trailers. Most of the trailers are, I think, like 5 minutes, which you can find on YouTube. I pulled this up, and the video has been taken down for some reason. But the Judgment game launched for the PS4 in the West in June 2019. The game shipped in Japan December 2018. Sega changed the character model and Japanese voice for the character of Kyohei, an actor, or Kyohei Himara in the Western release after the arrest of Dinky Grove, member and actor of Pierre Taki, on charges of illegal possession and use of cocaine. So Sega re-released the game in Japan in the new version with the new character model and a different voice in July 2019. The game got released for PS5, Xbox Series X and S, Google Stadia on April 23rd. Be on the lookout for a Lost Judgment. Just go on YouTube yourself and pull up the trailer. Is there anything else I want to hit on before we get into this shit? Because none of, like, there's news here, but none of the stuff I've really been keeping up with, so I can't speak on it. I don't want to sit here and just read this fucking list down. Pro gamer Diago Umihara diagnosed with COVID-19, so he's going through that. Persona 5 game gets third stage play in Osaka. So it seems like a lot of stage plays are coming out. But let's go ahead and hit the news and shit that I got. Now, let's dive right into Dragon Ball Super, because I can't hold out any longer. Dragon Ball Super is getting a new title, a new film in 2022. Now, there was a post made by Akira Toriyama himself, and then there's also a website that you can go to. Again, Geekdom 101 has done like 4 or 5 fucking videos on this, so just type in Geekdom 101, and it'll address everything that's going on with the new Dragon Ball Super title, because basically what happened is a website that is a very credible website for Dragon Ball information as well as other anime information went up, and when you clicked on it, it gave a 404 error just because the script, all the stuff they had up there, they did not want to drop and release yet, because as Toriyama does, he does things in installations as well as the manga companies, because they, and anime companies, because they want their money. But he says, let me, there we go. An all-new movie since Dragon Ball Super Broly is currently in the making. Just like the previous movie, I'm heavily leading the story and dialogue production for another amazing film. I really shouldn't talk too much about the plot yet, but be prepared for some extreme and entertaining bouts, which may feature an unexpected character. We'll be charting through some unexplored territory in terms of the visual aesthetics to give the audience an amazing ride. So I hope everybody will look forward to the new movie, Akira Toriyama. And this also dropped earlier for Japan because Japan's ahead of us for Goku Day. So if you guys have not celebrated Goku Day before, it's the perfect fucking time to. Where is... Oh, come on. There's a shot of our old Saiyan boy, and there we go. Let's move him over here. There we go. Goku coming back from Yardrat right up here. And then this is some fan art of Goku with a nice little smirk. Because, you know, Goku smiles and he smirks and he's like, and he's always ready to take on the challenge. So we do know that we have another film coming. There was some speculations to whether it was going to be following the Moro arc that you hear me and Buck talk about, or the Granola arc. And chances are, since he brought Broly back and made him canon, there's no way that he's going to leave him out. So it should be Broly back in the film. And that's something we've been waiting for. We asked that last time when we did a crossover with the Superpower Movie Podcast and a little bit of anime, is if we thought Toriyama had plans to add Broly into the series, since there has been no series since the end of the Tournament of Power. And we went right into the film. So, you know, what are we going to do now? Broly is just sitting on this planet. And I do believe that he's going to tie him in. An unexpected character would be like Broly doing a fusion with somebody, I think. Or it could also be villains we never heard of. I do like the fact they're trying to reach out and extenuate the universe. We have multiple universes. We have good guys. We have bad guys. We have all these different iterations of things that have really tapped into the soul of Dragon Ball, which is overcoming adversity with your friends, not just alone. Goku's always had help throughout the way, and everybody's like, oh, Goku can't be MC and all this other stuff because he has to have help from his friends. Like, all shonen characters are based around some type of bond or friendship that strengthens the main character, and without, you know, going back to that dialogue, it doesn't happen. From Keikyo Hitman Reborn to Naruto to Bleach to One Piece to Dragon Ball. And I mean, these are heavily typical 90s shonen, because shonen throughout the ages from the 70s to 80s to 90s to 2000s has changed the medium drastically with the things that they offer and the way that they go about animation and storytelling and all this other stuff, and we get more thrilling and suspenseful stories. So I don't know why it would be weird to think that these tropes that have set up a specific new genre in shonen are not relevant there. We still see it in My Hero Academia. We see it in everything that's within that category. So don't get too hung up on the fact that Goku's having to use his friends. Don't get too hung up on the fact that this is the same as always, because it is the same as always. This is Dragon Ball. Akira's, they're not, it's not going anywhere. Dragon Ball's always going to be around. And I'm excited for it. I'm always excited for new Dragon Ball films, series. I'm really waiting for another series, because if they could do what they did in the Moro arc on TV, I mean, I don't know. That shit always hits me. And it's different for me, because I'm not hardcore, not an elitist, not none of that shit. I'm just somebody that's enjoyed the show since Dragon Ball. So the story of Goku leaving the mountain to Goku training with an angel now and possibly being one is a vast one. And in Japan, they reference the series as just Dragon Ball, not Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and GT and Super. It's just one long story. So when we talk about storytellers, Akira Toriyama, Ichiro Oda, like these are long format storytellers. Oda's still going with One Piece just the same way, and there's heavy influences in all these shonen titles from Dragon Ball. But I'm just saying, I'm fucking excited for a new Dragon Ball Super film in 2022, which you know we'll cover, which you know we'll go see. I have not... I want to pull some people into the Demon Slayer Mugen Train breakdown, because we're going to talk about that anime and that film and how amazing that shit was and how it relates to the story and things like Demon Slayer and One Piece that lend themselves to reaching out in other mediums and adding to their story, kind of like a Star Wars does with the comics, with the short films, the vignette, same thing with Marvel Universe. So I'm excited to see that shit. Is that all that I have? If so, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah, that's it for the news. There's not really much news of, like, even Pokemon Cliffhanger teases more returning gym leaders, which has been a question in Pokemon, but I haven't caught up, so I kind of dropped off. We haven't talked about manga in a while. Maybe when we talk about the next chapter of Dragon Ball, which is coming out in like 11 days. Oh, no. Because we had a new Black Clover that was fucking amazing today. We got some new shit. I might have to have like an emergency episode. I might have to have like a YouTube. It just keep up with the Twitter at realelijah_5000 and you'll know what else is going on. But that's it for the news. Let's take a quick pause for the cause and we'll be right back and we'll go into my breakdown of Yasuke, Netflix, most phenomenal fucking original anime they've made by far. And talk about the Black Samurai himself. I am Elijah 5000. I'll return with episode 262 right after this.
Need a magic sword? Stylish new threads? Access to a video game before it comes out? Or to fall in love? It can all be yours. Give us a ring at Gotta Goddess, where we can provide you with your very own goddess, fully equipped with one no-strings-attached wish. Call today and use magic word GAG to get a discount on your first wish to be fulfilled.
Side effects may, but are not excluded to, death, dismemberment, disorientation, irritable bowel syndrome, headaches, nose aches, toothaches, an addiction to anime, falling in love with the wrong person, and more.
If you're a ninja, being seen can be a problem, especially if you're seen wearing subpar footwear. Make sure to visit Shinobi Sandals to make sure if you're seen, you're seen in style.
All right, folks, I am back. I am back. And let's go ahead. And why didn't I do this before? This would have saved me a lot of trouble. Okay, boom. Thank you, Goku. Bam, bam. Let's talk about Yasuke. Netflix Yasuke. I binged it. 6 episodes. I binged the series the day that it came out. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful anime. I think Yasuke is a action-packed, you know, step forward in the anime medium. Because it really focuses on the Black Samurai. So there's a couple things I'm going to read. Let me just go to Netflix and pull up the official synopsis here, because Netflix always has some different ass synopsises than what you would think. But again, this is a original series by LaShawn Thomas, Flying Lotus. There's a whole bunch of moving parts and people here. MAPPA, thank you guys for this shit. But back in 1581, Yasuke and Natsumura. No. That is not what I want. I guess they do the first episode as a title, because I was pulling up the second one. When her young daughter is stricken by a mysterious milady, Ichika asks Yasuke to bring them upriver to a special doctor, but Yasuke refuses. And basically, the overall encompassing story is we're just going to tell about the Black Samurai and then incorporate that in the medium of anime, meaning... one thing that I did not see magic and mecha in this fucking series whatsoever. What you're looking at now, this is Yasuke several years after we first see him in the first episode. So If you don't know about Yasuke, there's a couple of series that you can watch, but Yasuke was a man of African origin who was served as a retainer under Japanese daimyo Oda Nobunaga. In 1579, Yasuke arrived in Japan in the services of the Italian Jesuit missionary Alessandro Viganala. I forgot about that. I got a dash on the way. Visitor of missions in the Indies in India. Yasuke is thought by some to have been the first African that Nobunaga had ever seen, and he was one of the several Africans to come to the Portuguese to Japan during the Nanban trade. He was also present during the Honnoji incident, the forced suicide of Nobunaga at the hands of General Aikichi Mitsude of 21 June 1582. Now, one of the things that I always love about interviews with LaShawn Thomas is he tells you from a very articulate place why he wanted to do what he did, whether it's picking the composition, whether it's picking the artist, whether it's picking the genre to take that medium in. And this was an article that came from Wired, and it's just sitting down talking with LaShawn Thomas. This is more than a decade ago. African-American producer LaShawn Thomas opened a PDF of a Japanese children's book called Kurosake, or A Black Samurai. It was about the noble samurai who defended medieval Lord Oda Nobunaga, hell-bent on uniting Japan up until Nobunaga committed seppuku. One of those samurai Thomas learned was African. He says, I was like, this is pretty creative. A bit controversial. Japan is notoriously homogenous, or without mincing words, xenophobic. Thomas had seen Hollywood films starring noble foreigners in Japan, but not black ones. He began a little research, and what he learned impressed him that Yasuke, the black samurai, was real. As the story goes, the Jesuit missionary brought him to Japan in the 16th century, possibly from Mozambique. He became a great fighter, served Nobunaga, who, it is said, died by his own hand in Yasuke's presence. Just because he trusts him so much. And it says Yasuke had been depicted in some Japanese media in bits and pieces, but Thomas felt those black samurai were never humanized or normalized. He was like an ancestor to that time period, Thomas says. Yasuke, the upcoming series, Thomas is co-producing with actor Lakeith Stanfield and musician Flying Lotus, was his opportunity to resurrect the samurai, unfiltered but enhanced. It was also a chance to make an anime that speaks to an audience important to him. Japanese anime has been and become very popular among Americans, and in particular the African-American community, says Thomas. And there's a lot of back and forth among fans about, you know, individualism and xenophobia in Japan. I felt like, who can refuse this guy who actually served one of the most important figures in Japanese history? So that is where we're going to stop there. I do want to say that it was something that he committed to talking about was that Yasuke awakens 10 years after Nobunaga's suicide in a quiet village, just trying to make sense of it all and find penance because he feels like he dishonored, you know, Nobunaga and himself. And so he's really, really lost. And so he wanted to show not only a samurai out of time, but a samurai that was in the right place, in the right time, and who followed his heart continuously and his morals, which led him to become of such notoriety. So you guys really have to check out Yasuke. That's as much as I'm going to go into it. You guys can find your own stuff. But it was so fucking crazy the way that I always love the art style. I mean, they do fucking phenomenal work. If you can look right now, I was like, damn, I wish my locks and shit looked like that too, because the way that they did the lock, and this isn't the best way I've seen locks done. If you look at a lot of black mangaka, I mean, of course, they're black. They know how to draw the hair. But I feel like this gave him a little bit more of an anime edge because the gray hair is woven in. And this is immediately 10 years after everything's happened. So it's not like Yasuke's hair is going to stay that way forever. He has several looks he goes through and we travel to the past. But everything about him was on point. The fighting style, when he had to stand outside the castle gates. I think it was like episode two or three, and had to fight everybody in the name of Nobunaga, who recognized him, but some of the other generals didn't, and nobody else did because he was black. Even when Oda, this was a famous story that was told, when he first met him, he thought he was dirty and had him strip and try to wash the black off his skin, and then realized that he was a black person. He was like, oh shit, this is cool. I need this guy. And because of his interest, he wanted him as a retainer. And I think he was one of several, and not like a large several, but like a small number. But Yasuke was the motherfucker. And in this series, you see that, whether it's magic, whether it's the mechs, and really, you know, somebody that wants to mind their business, and then it's like, you know, for the good of this person, I'll step back in and take on that role. But if I do it, I got to do it. And one of the things that I loved is the fact that he's been out of it for a minute, and you can tell. I mean, he's still cold, but you can tell he's been out of it just like a normal person. But again, he just tries to avenge himself, I guess, from the disgrace and, you know, disrespect he felt, because he didn't feel like Oda had to die. He felt like they could have got away and he could have kept falling and serving under him. And then he's like, nah, you are going to do what you need to do, and this is what's going to happen. Have this drink with me, blah, blah, blah. And it's one of those deals. You lost your boy. He went out, which Yasuke, the Black Samurai, is our Taiyosei. And I think that I also wanted to throw in and kind of throw a curve this week that Shigusa Takachiho from we're gonna leave it at Yasuke, because I remember why I didn't add him in, because we have another special episode coming in where we're gonna do a crossover with Turn On the Game, so we're gonna do something else different. But with that being said, let's go into anime and manga of the month and round out the rest of the show. So we have been talking about what anime you guys should watch, why you should watch it, where you can watch it. And let's dive right into this one. Bam, I've been killing slime for 300 years and maxed out my level. Another long-ass title anime, which is fucking hilarious. It's just a lot of comedy. There's a bit where she's talking to an elf at a guild or at a bar, and she's talking about, you really don't want your boobs to grow and get out of hand. And she just like perks up. She's like, well, I'm quite, you know, happy with my boobs. Like, I have no complaints. I feel like it's positive shit. Or going into chibi mode and trying to act like, no, you don't want to tell people they're doing good and hard work is good. Then it's not a positive thing. And then they get really strong like me, and then you're bored all the time. So this anime released April 10th of this year from Revaroot, licensed by Crunchyroll and Muse Communications. I think it's 5 episodes out right now. You can watch it, like I said, Crunchyroll VRV. But after dying of overwork in the real life, as they all do, if we think about that time I got reincarnated as a slime, kind of like the same thing. Not overwork, but the life is never there when you die and then you turn up into another world. I'm reincarnated as an immortal witch, and I spend 300 years enjoying a relaxing life. At some point, though, I ended up at level 99. At those years spent killing slimes to make money to pay the bills have given me a ton of experience points. Rumors of a level 99 witch spread, and soon I'm up to my ears in curious adventures, duelist dragons, and even a monster girl calling me her mom. I've never been on an adventure, but I'm the strongest in the world. What's going to happen in my relaxing life? So again, it's not so relaxing. It's comedy, action, isekai. Fucking beautiful. Guys, go ahead and check it out. As you look at the art, who doesn't love witches? Witches are amazing. Little Witch Academia, boom. Burn the Witch, boom. Vanessa from Black Clover. Orko from He-Man. Everybody loves witches. Warlocks, amazing. So again, I've been killing slime for 300 years and maxed out my level. That is your anime of the month. And manga of the month is, boom, Zip Man. On the left in red is the older, stronger ox brother, and on the right is the slimmer and more intelligent brother. But this is Zip Man. This is by Yusaku Shibata. Kaname Tatara is a 17-year-old high schooler, and he has super strength. That's the one on the right in the red, who has idolized the superhero Jackman ever since he was a kid. His twin brother, though, Koshiro, who's on the right in the blue, is a genius who founded his own robotics company. One day, Koshiro dies in a mysterious accident, but then reappears before Kaname as a robot. What happens between these two? How do they save their lives and their world? They work together as one, as they should have from the beginning. This is a story about two brothers learning how to work together, learning how to be friends, learning what each other's goals were, and proving to themselves, not only each other, that they are worth something within this world. This is a very short run manga, but it's very, very well done. It's enjoyable. It reminds me of Ratman, if you guys ever read that, which was a long type of hero series way before My Hero came out. But it's duality. Like, why do I have this power? I don't want this power, or I'm not a good person, but I can't do bad or good when I'm in it. There's a lot of complexity, but I think I was reading that one when I was reading Assassination Classroom. And what else? Probably Gamblefish, I think. I think those were the two titles that I was reading at the time. So those are your anime and manga of the month. And last but not least, let's go ahead and round up this show. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And we're just going to go through and some of my favorite. I'll give you my top. Let's see. Top five anime moms. So, top five. Yeah. Number one, and this is in no order. This is just in the five. Top five mom, Bulma Briefs, dude. She held it down, even though she didn't really mean to make all that money, and she kind of inherited it from her family. She's super smart. She loves her family, takes care of her kids, makes sure that everybody's happy, even when they don't want to be happy. That's the number one mom. Next on the list, who am I going to put next on? God, why'd I start with Bulma? Okay, so next on the list is Usagi's mom, Miss Tsukuno, who always checks to see if her daughter is doing her homework. You know, this is going to be kind of like a classic because what's the name's mama too? Kagome's mom. These are moms that were around throughout my childhood and adulthood who checked on their children. Kind of. And I say, like, she checked on Kagome and then she asked her if everything was all right. And then she trusted her daughter. Those are the kind of things that we want to see. Right. So we got Kagome's mom. We've got Sukina's mom. We've got We have Usagi's mom. What the hell am I talking about? And then we have Bulma, so Trunks and Bulma's mom. Two more moms that aren't tied to. I love that she's so happy. She's so ditzy, and she believes in her son and her husband. We're going to go with Suna's mom from Kick Kill Hitman Reborn. I think she's a good mom. I think that she is very happy, very light, wants the best for everybody, and takes care of people and brings that levity into the show that you don't normally see. So she is one of my best moms. And then last but not least, trying to narrow it down, we're going to go Mrs. Ketchum. I feel like she was the first mom. Ash, get up. You got to do that. Well, go to bed because you got to wake up early. Get your Pokemon, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be gone if you don't get down. She was on point. So I feel like for me, those are my top moms because Digimon, the parents were kind of, none of the parents really knew what was happening. They were apologetic at the end. Thanks for following John Baker. Let's see. But yeah, we're going to go with that. Kagome's mom. Then we have Bulma, so Trunks and Bulma's mom. We have Suna's mom. We have, who else did I say? I said Usagi's mom. And then who is my fifth one? Fuck, I just said and I just forgot. But I've got like two more rolling around. I said Mrs. Ketchum, because she was like in between those two and I had to roll back through it. So there's your moms. I'm already forgetting. Tell me who your top five anime moms are. What'd you do for your parents or your mother on Mother's Day? You can send your emails to TheElijahBaileyShow@gmail.com, or you can just simply hit me up on Twitter at Elijah Bailey Show or RealElijah_5000. Remember to follow us on all the social media. So if you're going to send me a tweet, it's the same thing on Instagram and Snapchat at Elijah Bailey Show. Just chop off the W on the end. You'll see the show logo and the art there. Make sure to join every Sunday at 4:30 for the Elijah Bailey Show. Next week is video games, and this Wednesday coming up, if you're listening to the show, it's already passed, but you can catch on our Facebook page a little bit of anime at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, episode 108. We'll dive a little bit more into Yasuke and some other series that we've been watching, like Tokyo Revengers 86, Osamaki rom-com where the childhood friends won't lose, Higihiro after being rejected I shaved and took in a high school runaway. There's just so many titles we'll talk about, but thank you for joining me for today's quick episode of anime. Not too much news I wanted to harp on, except for Dragon Ball Super gets a new film in 2022. Yasuke is fucking amazing. 6 episodes. I binged it back to back one morning. Just watch it on Netflix. It's phenomenal. It's got magic, it's got mecha, and it's got actual swordsmanship, which is bad as fuck. And that gave you new anime and manga of the month and my top 5 anime moms, which I'm not going to repeat it again. It'll be in the description of the show notes, but give me your top 5. Join us on the Facebook page, on the Twitter, everywhere out there. Thank you guys so much. This has been episode 262 of the Elijah Bailey Show, and I'm Elijah 5000. I'll catch your ass in the next podcast. Hey, what's up, everybody? Elijah 5000 here. Me and the Buckety appreciate it so much that you download this show each and every week. Again, we drop every Thursday. If you're new to the Elijah Bailey Show, go to Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or Spotify, or wherever you listen to this auditorial pleasure that you get weekly, and just subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you, and I'll catch your ass in the next podcast.